Tonight, James puts meh cream in his coffee. Mike thanks you for noticing him. And we tell you the first clue to where we hid the treasure.
James from Surrealpunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike from somewhere on the internet.
Probably a gay porn site.
No, no gay porn.
Those levels look better.
Yeah, I mean, they're not great,
but they're better.
They do. They look a lot better.
We were recording with the built-in laptop-y microphone, and we're like, hey, those levels look like shit. So we were not using the fancy microphone that was bought via the Survival Punk Army.
They want you, you know.
They do indeed want you.
I need to wake up.
You need some heroin, boy.
We're not even 2 minutes into the show. You've already accused me of being on a gay porn site and tried to sell me heroin. What the hell kind of a friend are you?
The best.
Uh-huh.
I was just thinking, like, there needs to be a parody of the Pokemon song about having an asshole friend.
Oh, God.
If you can write that, do that. Like we were saying before, that we noticed that the levels were shite. we used to have a lot of different segments of the show. And then I started doing those longer single format solo episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw away all the segments. I'm like, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to knock out one single subject for usually like an hour, because I just rant and go down rabbit holes, even by myself.
Yep.
I'm here by myself, and I'm like, oh, this one time back in Panama City, I killed a hooker. It was great. Yeah, I go down these rabbit holes.
You didn't haggle over the price with them first, did you?
No.
That'd just be funny.
Redundant, yeah. You're not getting no money. Yeah. So we used to have all these segments, and last week I tried to invent a new one, Mike's... What did you name it? You renamed it something.
Yeah, Mike's Marijuana Moment.
Mike's Marijuana Moment. But we've had several segments through the years. And what was it? Was it the 1 year anniversary? Was it the 100th episode?
It was
when we brought back every single segment?
Yeah, we brought back every single segment that we'd ever did.
Yeah, that was crazy and fun.
Yeah. I love doing the Top Gear intro for that one, because it took like a minute and a half.
Yeah. We do this, and this.
Yeah.
If you want any of those segments to return, shoot me an email, james@surrealpunk.com.
Yeah, we will do.
Or leave a comment on the podcast episode.
Yeah, we'll do segments by request.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't think I ever want to bring back the news.
Oh, you never want to bring back the news? Why not?
It ended up eating like half or more of our episodes sometimes.
Yeah, it gave us a jumping off point.
Yeah, and then we'd get to like the main topic.
And we'd rush through
it. We'd rush through it, and then people were like, yeah, I came here for the main topic, and you spent the whole episode reading an article that wasn't yours. Okay, granted, we did make comments, and it wasn't just like reading it. Now let's move on.
Fuck you, motherfuckers. It's a free podcast. We'll do whatever we want.
That is true, but I don't. Yeah, if we ever get like a huge news story that we need to cover, it'll either be its own episode or we'll just talk about it in the preamble. And I don't
like we did with Venezuela.
Yeah, Venezuela. That was his own topic where, you know, instead of just reading a news article and talking about something else. So there are some segments that I will consider bringing back. And,
oh, yeah.
If we do a good job on the main topic, though, we get squeezed for time. So.
Oh, God. Remember the game that I used to play with you every week?
The Can You Survive It object? That one or the other one?
No.
The worst case scenario game?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. There's some cards hanging around here if I didn't throw them away recently.
Those are Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
No, there are some worst case scenarios. They're everywhere still.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Well, anyway, if you want any of those segments or have an idea for a new segment, drop me a line.
James@survivalpunk.com.
Or You can
call us.
Call us. Like the show topic of today came from a listener, and I will play that call for you guys. I'm not gonna bother playing it for us. I get the gist of it.
Yeah. But if you want to call us and ask a question or have a show topic for us, call 615-657-9104. That number again is 615-657-9104. That's 615-657-9104.
If you forget that, I just added that phone number to the Survival Punk Facebook fan page.
Dun, dun, dun.
So it's on there if you forget it.
LR Callow added a phone number to the Survival Punk Punks page, too.
He did. He actually called and left a voicemail. That will not be a whole episode. It was, I don't remember what it was, but there was like, for a 10-second call, it was mostly comprised of 37 fucks.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, by the way, LR, yeah, I called them, and they acted really scared when they answered the phone.
Nice.
I told dude he sounded like he had a pretty mouth. That's for you, bro.
Now.
Fucking con artists.
So they have the number now you can call. And what is today's episode on?
It is about pretty flowers.
Not so much with the pretty flowers, but perennials. So I'm going to play the listener call for you now.
Hi, guys. This is Carissa from Kansas. I just caught the Women's Prep episode, and I wanted to say congratulations. It was a very good episode, too. I really enjoyed it. And I look forward to hearing more from you guys. I can't remember what I was going to say now. Sorry for my question that I had for you. So, anyway, congrats. Really enjoyed the episode. Totally made up for Haters episode. Question is, you know, I'd really like to see an episode where you go into more the people who want to bug in instead of bugging out, and more about cultivating a perennial edible landscape, because that's kind of what I'm interested in right now. But all the other episodes have been really good. I'm still going to listen to any future episodes you have. But anyway, yeah, that was my question. So, thanks, and I'll keep listening to you. Thanks.
All right. You just heard from listener Carissa. Me and Mike listened to this last week when it came in, actually. And
Watermelon.
I think she said where she's from. But I don't know. So we'll just say she's in the Midwest. That's a pretty big area of the United States of America. America! Yeah, so she wanted to know. She's trying to move away from just doing annual gardens into getting into perennials.
What is a perennial? What's the difference? I don't know these words.
We're going to get into that.
Yay!
So, yeah, I honestly thought about trying to track down a subject matter expert for this podcast.
That would be me.
Mike doesn't even know what a perennial is. He's like, flowers? I'm like, no, not flowers. You can eat perennials, too.
Some kind of a bagel?
Yeah, it's a bagel.
Yay! A
bagel.
We should grow our own bagels.
Yeah. Hold on. If you... Okay, I need the audience's help for a second. I'm trying for like the past 2 weeks to get Mike to go to CC's with me. If you want Mike to go with CC's with me, please leave a comment on this episode. Is that a regional thing?
What, CC's?
Yeah.
I have no clue.
CC's here in the Tennessee area, there's a few of them left, is a pizza buffet chain.
Yeah, they started off really cheap, and they're still pretty cheap.
They're not as cheap. Like, used to be
$2.99 all you could eat.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, when, with a drink, $5. I mean, that's...
Of course, then again, if you think about it...
That's all buffets used to be about $5.
Yeah. Well, now I think it's $5.99.
God damned inflation.
I think it's like $5.99 now.
No, I meant with tax and stuff. Like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, used to be, if you got a water at a Chinese buffet in Nashville, you're like under $6, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're under $10 with a drink that's legit. Because, like, Oh my God. Fucking like the Mexican restaurants and the like, all of the Chinese and Mexican restaurants here charge almost $3 for a glass of Coke. It's ridiculous.
Even if that Coke is Pepsi.
Ugh. Ugh.
Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pussy.
Diet Pussy.
That was my Russian accent and not my Chinese accent. In old country, we drink Diet Pussy.
We wait in line 4 hours for the thimble's worth of Diet Pussy.
Yeah.
Like an old country.
So, yeah. Perennials.
Pretty flowers. Look at the flowers.
Get out of here.
Look at the flowers.
George.
Look at the flowers.
So,
bam, little girl, you're dead.
The first thing, what is the difference between perennials and annuals?
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's a great question. What is the difference between perennials and annuals? I know the answer. The one begins with a P.
Yeah, I basically knew this, and that, well, you get into some nuances. There are, so annuals, they live one growing season.
Aww.
So I have some annual plants die in the winter season. You must replant them every single year. Perennials come back every year. You plant them once.
Yay.
Horticulturalists usually categorize perennial plants in the two types, woody plants and herbaceous perennials.
Why did that sound so dirty? That sounded dirty for some reason.
But yeah, there's some like crazy nuances we won't bother with. That's like next level show topic and
next level.
I'm not really that qualified to speak on that subject because there's some things that, like, what is it? Maybe blueberries. There's certain type of blueberries will only give you blueberries every other year or some shit. And then some things are not annuals, but they live for 2 years and then they die. And I'm like, that's a biannual. It's not even I wouldn't call that a perennial. It is a perennial. And I think it has a fancy Latin term for it or something, but that's lame. And hold on.
Hold on.
It really depends on your climate.
And your underwear.
I don't want to go into like super specific details here. Because I want to make this general for everyone. Like, I could have completely tailored this episode for the listener's region. I mean, I know where she's from, what state at least. So I could have been like, this is for this state. But, you know, 99% of our listeners would get no value from that. So by just doing it in a more broader strokes, I cover more people.
With
and
what?
The point of that was that tomatoes and peppers
are really can actually be perennials.
They can actually be perennials.
Perennials?
Like a tomato.
I don't believe you.
Tomato plant and pepper, like jalapeno plants, like they're like in the Mexico desert where the tomato plant is from, it's a perennial, just like ground growing plant.
You see, I've got my lettuce growing right next to the tomatoes, which is growing right next to the bacon plant.
Yeah.
I have a BLT salad.
Nice.
I mean, BLT garden.
Nice.
I've had a BLT salad before. What were we talking about?
I've done that.
Perennials, yes.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, thanks for stopping by.
So, yeah. Depending on where you're at, some things you can actually make into perennials. And you can take some perennials that are not perennials in your region. Tree collards. I just learned about something called tree collards, which are basically large collared plants that form sort of small trees.
Why would you want to collar a tree? It's not like it's going to run off and get lost.
Collared. Like collared greens.
They're called African American trees, thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome to the 21st century.
So yeah, they're cold hardy for like zone 7 and above here in the United States.
What's zone 7?
It's they split up the country into zones of growing regions.
Oh.
We're, I think, 6 in the Tennessee, like where we're at. Like we're 6 or a 7.
Six.
Somewhere in there.
It happens.
So possibly we could push tree collards here in Tennessee.
Yay.
Kansas Well, I just gave your location. May or may not be able to do that. So
Kansas is, you know.
But you can do things like put them in flower pots and bring them in, you know, when it gets too cold. And then other things you have to mulch, like Drusillum artichoke, and we'll talk about that later. And strawberries. Strawberries get their name because in the wintertime, you cover them with straw.
Oh, really?
Strawberries, yeah.
That makes sense.
I just learned that. That was neat.
Then where did snozzberries get their name?
From snozzes.
Hmm.
So, yeah. You might have to do some different things to these.
Makes you wonder about raspberries.
Rasp.
Yeah. Do they really rasp?
I think they do, actually. I think I've seen raspberries. They're prickly, so they may rasp off your skin. Raspberries. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm spitballing here.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add to this conversation. I know nothing about gardening.
Yeah.
But I am the stand-in for those out there in the audience that don't know jack shit about gardening. I am your analog. I am here for you, good sirs and madams.
Listen, so, if perennials are so great, then why should we even bother with annuals?
That is a damn good question. Why should we bother with something that you have to fucking redo every year instead of something sustainable?
The main nutritional benefits of annuals are to produce rapid bulk food in short periods of time, particularly during the high-stress summer periods.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So, with an annual, it knows it's going to die. Its goal is only to produce as many things that have their seeds as possible. It's a blow-and-go plant here. It wants to just shoot out as many, whatever it is that carries its seed product, fruit in a lot of cases, and go. You know, with like jalapenos, tomatoes, cucumbers, all those are seed-bearing fruit from the flower.
Interestingly enough, strawberries are not a fruit. The seeds on the outside of the strawberry are technically the fruit.
Yeah?
Yeah. Weird, isn't it?
It is weird. So, yeah.
I just ran out of knowledge on this topic. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah. So, yeah. You get less of a yield with the perennials. And there tend to be a lot of annuals that we like to eat. So they have their purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of you people that grow...
What do you mean, you people?
You people. A lot of you people that grow, like, cucumbers and stuff during the summertime, you usually get so many cucumbers, you're, like, going to work, you're, like, with bags of your cucumbers going, hey, free cucumbers, guys, because...
My daughter's growing cucumbers.
Yeah.
She's eating everything that's coming off that vine.
That's awesome.
But yeah, she's so happy about it. I mean, it's awesome. She loves growing stuff.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, one of the people I work with had gotten a potted cactus.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know where it was sitting in the store or whatever, but apparently a pecan had fallen into it. Got mixed into the potting soil at one point, I guess in the store, because she noticed another little thing growing out of it. When she dug down in there, it was growing out of a fucking pecan. A pecan plant was growing.
Yeah.
So she dug that up, gave it to me, and I gave it to Fiona.
Oh, nice. Where did you plant that at? Where did she plant that?
I have no clue.
Oh.
She's planted stuff all over the place out here. She's got...
Good.
Got tomatoes and cucumbers, I think, growing in the little kiddie pool.
Yeah.
Which kiddie pools make for good little planters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I need to plant a lot more stuff. I have some ideas, and we'll talk about them when we get a little bit later.
Pizza tree.
CC's Pizza, guys. Remember, email them, catchpotatomike@catchpotatomike.com.
Why do you want me to go eat CC's?
Because I
want
to eat a lot of pizza, and that's good pizza, and they have kinds that I like.
They have crowns that you like?
Kinds. They have kinds.
Yeah, I mean, they're good every now and then.
I mean, yeah. That's good.
Okay, what else?
Advantages of a perennial garden.
Oh, yes, what are the advantages of a perennial garden?
We've kind of talked about a few of them, but number one, I think Mike, you can really get behind number one here.
Okay.
It's as close to zero-work gardening as you can get.
I'm there.
Yeah. That's one of the main reasons that Paul Wheaton likes permaculture.
I loved him on Star Trek.
Yeah, it's... I mean, if you're a lazy fuck, then perennials are the way to go. Who was it? Eric Tosermeyer, author of Perennial Vegetables, which is the pretty much the Bible, and I would recommend you get it.
Tosermeyer. Oh, yeah, close enough.
Yeah. Author of the Perennial Vegetables. I'll be picking up a copy here soon.
I bet you will.
Our perennial, quote from him, our perennial vegetable beds planted 11 years ago still bear food, and all we have to do is add compost and mulch once a year.
How fucking awesome is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I want.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
And for survival reasons, having a low input, easy to manage annual thing like this, not an annual thing, but a thing that you year after year get a ROI on is amazing. And
ROI?
Return on interest. Investment. Return on investment.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And interest is your return on investment.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah.
So perennial vegetables are not fussy about soil types and are often happy in the shade. They are generally very hardy, coping with sub-zero temperatures as well as wet or dry weather. Additionally, they are from the wilder side of the plant world and being less highly bred and finicky, and they have a few pest or disease problems. See, and when I was earlier saying that we as humans, we like a lot of the annual crops, like tomatoes and peppers and cucumbers, a lot of those annual crops we tend to like. But on the flip side of that is, that's what there is. It's what we have. Like, that's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I like to try other things. Mike does not.
I like to try stuff.
Mike has no adventure in him.
I have plenty of adventure in me, and you know it, damn it.
He's wearing shorts and black socks and flip-flops right now. He's your typical dad.
Okay, I want to add a fucking disclaimer. I don't own flip-flops, and I have never owned flip-flops.
Yeah, that's a whole... You know what? I'm going to do a show on, like, things men need to stop doing. And wearing flip-flops... Stop. And unless you're wearing those tactical, like, hiking flip-flops that have straps that keep that fucker from moving.
Fucking tell me there's tactical hiking flip-flops.
Well, there's at least, like, fancy hiking flip-flops that...
That doesn't need to exist.
Well, okay, no. They're not flip-flops. That's the wrong terminology. They are sandals. They are hiking sandals. A flip-flop only has that dumb toe thingy that you're...
Yeah, they're called
flip-flops. I mean, if you've got to run from terrorists with flip-flops, you're fucked, dudes.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, you are not John McClane. You will get fucked.
Yeah.
Even he wishes he had shoes on and not flip-flops.
Being barefoot is more useful than wearing fucking flip-flops. And I'm not suggesting all these guys go around doing that either.
Yeah. Worst thing, if you're wearing flip-flops and you're sagging and your pants are falling down, terrorists are going to kill you.
Yeah.
Take advantage of currently unused areas of your landscape, matching the conditions to the appropriate perennial edibles. So,
I mean, like when you grew that garden outside the window of your apartment?
Not quite. That was just a regular annual garden. But, you know, a lot of the annual plants are fucking picky. They want perfect loamy soil. They want the soil pH, all this. They're just picky as shit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these perennials, they're adapted to growing in crazy wilderness places. Like, have you ever seen, like, just, like, trees and shit growing out of, like, the cracks of, like, the sides of mountains and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
They're used to that shit. So you can plant these things in easier areas.
At Rock City, I've always marveled the fact that there's this one tree that I don't know if it's still there or not. I can't imagine they would have cut it down, but it's growing sideways, like straight out of a cliff wall, and it grows straight out for like 4 or 5 feet,
and
then turns and goes straight up.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy shit.
Yeah.
Love that tree.
That's, yeah. Woody plants. It's like a perennial. Trees. Yeah.
And bamboo.
And
here's a question for you.
Shrubs and bushes.
Okay. If annuals take so much work, how do we get them in the first place?
They can grow naturally. Like in nature, a tomato plant is either meant to be eaten and pooped out, and then that provides a you know, a nourishment for the seed, and, you know, it grows in the ground.
Oh, God, that reminds me.
So they repopulate that way, through seeds.
Oh, yeah, this motherfucker I used to know, he was staying out of this cabin that had, I mean, rustic cabin, no indoor plumbing whatsoever. They had in a fucking outhouse, and they noticed that there was fucking wild tomatoes growing in the backyard, and they, not until after they had harvested them and eaten them, they realized they were growing out of where the outhouse used to sit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, an outhouse is not like a porta potty. It doesn't have a self-contained thing in the bottom. No. The thing in the bottom is a hole you dig in the fucking ground, and you set the porta the outhouse on top of it. Yeah. When it gets to a certain level, you fucking cover it with dirt and move the damn thing.
Yeah. And I've seen a tomato plant behind a compost bin on pavement growing in a crack in the pavement.
My dad, he saw that one time, a neighbor in the apartment he was living in up fucking north, they had a window box, and apparently it dropped some, like, seeds or something, one of which had landed in the fucking sidewalk crack and grew a goddamn tomato plant out of
it. Yeah.
And my dad fucking took the tomatoes and tried to eat them and spat them out because he said they tasted like fucking cement.
Yeah. Yeah, soil conditions tend to do a little bit for your taste there. The terroir. It's a Frenchy word from your soil, basically.
Apparently, the blind rainbow trout in the lost sea tastes like cat dog food, so.
Yeah. Preying on vegetables extends your harvest. So, like we said earlier, the annual crops that we tend to eat, they're summer crops. You plant them, you know, in the spring. You plant them
at the beginning of the season, and then at the end of the season, you harvest, and your plant's dead.
Yeah, so you got that. With perennials, like sorrel. Sorrel is a perennial green. Sorrel? Yeah, it's a green leaf thing.
Oh, a leafy thing.
Like for a salad. Oh. Obviously the top dives back, the root system, since it's not devoting all of its energy into, like, producing seeds because it knows it's going to die, you know, it's being smart. Perennials tend to invest not in their seed production because they know they're going to be around for years. They invest in their root structure. So the top dies off, the root structure is good. When spring happens, bam, sorrel pops right up. You know, the same thing with a treasured classic, and we'll talk about it in the list later on, wild onions, ramps. Every spring, bam, they pop up everywhere.
They really do, and I love that smell.
Yeah, I do too. And I've eaten them, and they're good. They taste like if you ever get, like, the super good sour cream and onion potatoes, not the Lay's ones. I mean, like, the cheap off-brand ones that, like, they just, like, dip them in the sour cream, like, an onion flavor. Yeah. Like, that onion, that's ramps to me. Like, sour cream, the Lay's ones kind of go a little limp-wristed on the sour cream and onion flavor, especially the onion side. It's kind of like meh cream and meh onion. Meh cream. So yeah, with perennials, like, they pop up early, they pop up late. Some things you get, like, all through, some things you can get in the dead of winter. So
things blossom in their time.
Yeah. So they extend the harvest. What do I have next?
You have an ink pen.
I have several mini.
Well, hand me one of them. 26. I can't find. Oh, wait, here's one.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've talked about the advantages. Obviously, listener that called in is in. I bet all of you guys are like, fuck, I need perennials. That's what I need to do now. First of all, I'd say see what works in your area. Like I said, I can't tailor this podcast episode for your specific area because that would be boring for everybody else, and, you know, except for your neighbors. So you need to see what specifically is working in your area. And not bitch. Like, everyone's like, oh, I live in Wisconsin. I can't grow lemons like they can in Florida.
No, we can only grow cheese and welders in Wisconsin.
Yeah, but the Floridians really can't grow apples. Apples need a certain number of cold days of the year. There are other things that have to have that cold period.
Oh, they can grow the fuck out of some oranges, though.
They can grow oranges. And, yeah, generally, unless you're a genius at growing stuff, like, there's a Seth Holzer in the mountains of, like, Austria is growing lemon trees. Okay, he's a fucking genius weirdo, though.
Wait,
you're not Seth Holzer.
In Austria?
Yeah, there's a couple people that have, like, they push the envelope super far, and they're able to, like, grow lemon trees outdoors, not in, like, you know, covered things, you know, in places where you should not be able to. Like I talked to Paul Wheaton about it, and there are a lot of tricks, but it's like, God, do you really want to do all that just to grow a fucking lemon tree? I don't. Like,
you well, have to, you like... Well, you know, the motherfucker wants to be the one motherfucker that grew a lemon tree there.
I mean, yeah, granted... For that notoriety, like, you're gonna get coverage. You're gonna get a lot of exposure for being that one dude. Like, you know, here in Tennessee, if we're able to, like, change the landscape and grow coffee shrubs, because coffee is a shrub, tree, then pineapples or something, then yeah, we would probably get some, you know, media coverage if we pushed that envelope. But it would be like, I don't really think it's worth your time investment. You know, some of the things are kind of neat, and they can extend your growing period, but, you know.
Do you have a good recipe for fried green tomatoes?
I don't.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah, no.
My dad was...
Well...
My dad was trying to Skype me the other night just to get a fucking recipe for fried green tomatoes. I've never cooked fried green tomatoes in my life. So you know what I did? I just sent him a link to allrecipes.com.
Yeah.
/ fried green tomatoes.
I was like, I think I have one in a paleo book, but your dad would have to use, like, almond flour or some shit.
Yeah, in the Philippines, it's best not to make the shopping list complicated.
Yeah, I mean, I just figured just...
Oh, my God.
Batter and an egg wash.
His wife had him convinced that, like, potatoes were, like, a rare delicacy over there or some shit. Turns out they have whole fucking islands that are just nothing but fucking potato plantations.
Yeah. Weird.
Well, I think she thought that because McDonald's over there serves rice instead of French fries.
Why can't they get ketchup there? Tomatoes should seem like they would grow really well in the Philippines.
You'd think, but no, they use bananas for their ketchup.
Is it really that they can't get tomatoes, or is it a taste preference? Do they just happen to prefer fucking, that?
Fucking Matt French has some banana ketchup.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you try it?
No, and I wish I had.
I would try it.
I don't think the bottle was opened. A British buddy of his had sent him a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually gave me the big squeeze bottle of HP sauce.
There's something called mushroom ketchup I want to try, which is...
Mushroom ketchup?
It's like ketchup apparently used to be sort of like a catch-all term for condiment. Which makes more sense why you can have tomato or banana or mushroom. Mm. But basically, it was a lot more like just like a Worcestershire sauce.
Well, and they used to, I mean, it used to be people would specify. Like, I mean, hell, even in the movie fucking Vacation, when Clark looks at Eddie, he's like, real tomato ketchup, Eddie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he specified tomato ketchup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Motherfucker served him a burger with no meat in it.
So yeah, see what's working in your area. Back to that topic. YouTube is a great resource for this.
Oh, YouTube's a great resource for a lot of
things. Yeah, find people that are doing the gardening that you want to do in your area that have YouTube pages. So I know this listener from this area. There's some guys that started buying like whole streets in Kansas City, because Kansas City, a lot like Detroit, went bankrupt. Not really bankrupt, but they're basically broke as shit. They started both demolishing houses.
Which one?
Well, no. Detroit is bankrupt. Literally, they
I know, but you said Kansas City.
But Kansas City is just broke as shit.
Both sides?
What?
Well, there's Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri, that sits on the border. It's one city divided by the state line.
The Kansas City side, not the Missouri side, for sure. The urban farming guys, that's who they are. Their YouTube channel is a wealth of information. They're basically making permaculture food plots of land in inner city Kansas City.
So basically they're buying up whole streets and then turning it into farmland, kind of?
Yeah, I mean... Well, like, they'll buy houses next to each other because, like, two houses are, like, $8,000.
Oh, wow.
They're demolishing one house, living in the other one, and then having a food forest next to them. Huh. You know, and they get together a co-op like this, and they just move onto a street and take it all over.
Fuck, I can afford to buy a house in Kansas City.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, see what's working in your area. I mean, you can learn from people that... are more generic, like this episode, like Jeff Lawton, huge resource.
But basically, most of his knowledge is standardized to Australia. And he can grow a lot of things we cannot do. He's like, oh, I threw in a pineapple grove over there. Well, we can't do that. You know, that's one of the main things he throws in. He's not pineapple, banana.
We're growing pineapples over here, or as we call them in Australia, Wally Crumpets.
Yeah, they do. I watched this. God, if I could find a link, I'd put it in the show notes for you guys. But I think Google Video shut down, so it's not really like that. You can't find it anymore. But if I can find this video, I'll find it. It was this Australian guy that was like basically taking a tour of a permaculture garden system. And he's like, and over there we got our kooks. And I'm like, what is he pointing at? What's a kook? What is that? Chicken. They call their chickens kooks. Kooks. Kooks.
Australians. I love Australians. They come up with weird, goofy names.
Yeah. Shit. We call koala bears koala bears. They call them drop bears.
Drop bears.
Yeah. Willy Wampus. Chibbly chin. It's like you send a bunch of criminals to paradise, and they're like,
it's like
we're going to make up shit.
It's like the Australian version of English was like written by freaking Willy Wonka and Dr. Seuss.
Yeah. I love you, Australians.
Yeah. Great. I hope this doesn't mean that we're going to have to race to like the Australian border, and then I'm going to have to lose it and go over into Australia and review one of their cars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to be holding up like a my face while you're driving around like, oh, see, that's James Fitzgerald Punk, not see, Mike.
They hate him just as much as they hate me, but the look in here, wait, I didn't think this through.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just watched that episode the other night. It's fresh on my mind.
We need to watch a trailer. Apparently they released a trailer for season 2 of the Grand Tour.
Good. Yeah. It got renewed.
Yeah, well, it was bought for 3 seasons. They had to give us 3 seasons.
I was wondering about
that. Learn permaculture.
I fucking can't believe we missed the episode they filmed in Nashville.
Yeah, so learn permaculture. That a lot of the permaculture principles is based on these perennial garden systems, based on trying to not do a lot of work in your garden. So there are a lot of resources to learn permaculture. You can get your permaculture design certificate. I started a PDC course, and I've never finished it.
You're a bad prepper.
I can recommend that you go check out the videos at PermaEthos. I signed up for their PDC. I'm still working on it. I'd have been better off if I would have went to like a weekend permaculture course and taken it like that. It's like online videos, and you work at your own pace, and I haven't fucked with it in a while. But it was good. It's done by Josiah Wallingford. I like Josiah Wallingford. He's maybe not the greatest teacher in the world.
Hey, from Utah.
I love Josiah Wallingford, but sometimes he comes off a little
Mormon.
No, Ben Stein. Very, very monotone, very, like, he's so laid back that it's like...
Mueller.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, Mueller. Permaculture is good. It does stuff. I'm like, oh.
Today I'm going to teach you how to grow stuff. And with me is my special guest, Stephen Wright.
Like myself, Joe is...
A spilled spot remover.
He's either an anarchist or a libertarian, one of the two. And he weaves in... liberty and anarchy in all of his lessons, and I like that, but at the same time, it's like the Sword of Truth series, when you're being beat over the head with your own philosophy, you're like, okay, I fucking get it, move on.
We need to take this fight to the streets.
Yeah.
I'm slowly turning into Eeyore.
Yeah. So yeah, learn permaculture. Jeff Lawton has an online PDC, and, you know, he has an Australian accent, so it may be more entertaining for you. It's a bit more money. I don't know how much the PermaEthos course is now. I'm a founding member, so I got in at the early price. You know, it was under $400, so whatever that is. I'm sure the price is more now. Jeff Lawton's, I think, is closer to $1,000, but, you know... It's probably worth it if you have that grand. I would honestly, if you're going to take a PDC,
please do it in the toilet.
I would say that you find a local PDC to take in person, even though they generally take like a week and it's like $1,000. They feed you probably hippie ass, you know,
hippy dippy
vegetable food and not meat, but
come
on, you can live for a week.
Smile on me, brother.
That's definitely the way I'd say. I would much rather see you just watch permaculture videos online to get additional information and just take a real PDC. That's what I should have done. Here's a word that Mike's gonna hate, I'm sure.
Why, but what?
Fedges.
Fedges?
Fedges.
I don't hate that word. It's short for food hedges.
It is short for food hedges. You looked at the list. Good job. This is a good, like we talked earlier, how perennials tend to be okay to be planted pretty much everywhere. They don't have to be restricted to your garden beds. You can plant them in places where your annual vegetables would hate to go. And that could be along your fence line. And this is something I'm thinking about doing here at Mike's place. Whatever we're going
to
name.
My mother used to harvest frickin' some wild plant that always grew along our fence line back in when we lived in West Nashville, Polk Salad.
That's a pokeberry.
She would know that she had harvest, her and the neighbor would harvest the greens and cook them up.
Yeah. It's it's finic. You have pokeberry plants, and it's those purple berries you can't eat. They stain things purple.
Oh yeah,
yeah, those things. You're supposed to eat the new shoots, and you're supposed to boil them like twice to remove the. I think it's high in oxalic acid. There's that, but yeah, I've heard a lot of local people here say that they like poke salad, but yeah, you have to get the new shoots. You can't. I mean, maybe your mom was double boiling the old shoots. I'm sure she knew.
Well,
survived.
She wasn't cooking them. She was taking them to the neighbor, and the neighbor would cook them for both of them because the neighbor was an old woman, been cooking them all her day.
Yeah.
So she knew what she was doing.
Yeah. I don't just go grab poke.
No, she's the one that taught my mother about them and how to spot the plant.
Do you remember? Are they good? Do you like them?
I didn't try them.
You didn't try them?
I was a kid at the time, and at the
greens are gross.
I was insanely picky.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't.
What?
I didn't.
What?
Even pickier than I am now, dude.
Yeah.
I've mellowed out a lot in my old age.
I want to get Matt French, like, in person so we can try durian fruit, the world's stinkiest fruit that's banned Singapore cities. I've seen it. Like, you can buy it in Nashville.
You can?
The K&S World Market.
It looks really spiky. Apparently, it is a delicious fucking fruit, but when you open it up, it releases a smell not unlike death.
Yeah, like rotting meat, like disgusting, but it's supposed to taste good.
They're banned from being, like you said, they're banned from being eaten in public and on public transport in certain places.
Yeah, Singapore, it is illegal to open a durian fruit within city limits, unless they've changed that since the last time I looked up that rule. Food hedges, like along your fence line, plant things like blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, hazels, all of these like shrubs that produce perennial food crops. And if you've seen like any of like the berry plants, like blackberries, raspberries, like they grow everywhere along the like woods and shit. So here anyway,
do they grow on vines?
No, those are shrubs. Those are like bushes.
Gotcha. Oh, here's a question for you. Why don't people use like chain link fencing for to plant like vine plants around?
Some people do.
Some people do. I've never actually seen it. I always thought, you know, if you put something that grows on vines, because, you know, a lot of people stake the ground for, like, tomatoes, so the vines will have something to wrap around. I'm like, why don't they just fucking plant them around chain link? Just easy. They got something they can grow whichever way they want to.
I mean, there's a lot of neat things you can do. I saw a video or documentary on a guy that was growing horizontal apple trees, like, he had, like, lines run, and he went up, and then he'd basically bend it and then string it along this, like, line so that the apple tree, instead of growing up real high and was hard to harvest from, he ran it horizontally along, like, the line so he could walk down the line and just pick his apples.
That's awesome. You know, you've got to, at some point in your life, you've got to get to fucking Florida. You've got to go to at least Epcot Center.
Yeah. Serenity wants to go to
Disney World.
Yeah.
Well, Well, dude, it's fun. It's fun for the whole family. The most fun I've had as an adult I had at Disney World. But no, fuck it, Epcot Center, the Lands Pavilion. I mean, they show you, they've had these huge fucking, like, this huge farm there. And the food that they grow there, they serve in the Disney parks.
You showed me pictures of that. Those are the most interesting pictures I saw from that.
No, you'd love it. I mean, they actually have like a raft ride that takes you throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a very slow moving thing, and you're listening to a speaker the whole time. Shows you all the, like, they fucking, I forget what plants it were, but they were growing these one plants on a fish tank.
Oh, yeah.
A giant tank with living fish in it. And it was, and basically it was
a symbiosis.
It was a symbiote.
The plants eat parts of the plant, and then they poop, which feeds the plant.
Yeah, the fish eat part of the plant. Yeah. They eat part of the plant, then their waste fucking fertilizes the plants.
Yeah. I need to get someone on about that topic.
Oh, it's just freaking amazing.
It is. Yeah. So, yeah, veggies. That's an easy way. You know, if you're thinking about getting into it, just throw in some of those. Let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you don't have to do a lot to them.
I wish the neighbors would let us go over there and dig up a tree or two.
Where?
Just on the other side of the fence, there's fucking cherry trees growing there that fucking produce fruit every year. Unless their fucking livestock destroyed them.
Oh, you can take... We'll go jump the fence and take cuttings from it.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we'll take cuttings from them. So we can get them, and then they still have them, and I'm sure they don't even care. I'm sure they don't
know. No, they've pretty much abandoned the lot right next to us. But
yeah.
They're kind of, I don't know.
Food forest. That's another permaculture design principle, and it's one that I like a lot, one I want to implement, at least on a small scale. I don't know if I want a huge food forest, and a lot of you don't have room for a huge food forest, but... Man, they're a prepper's dream. They're like your own backyard supermarket in a way.
I mean, how'd you like to be, I'm hungry, and you walk out your back door and just reach up and grab a piece of fruit?
Yeah. All of these fruits, I like the dwarf stock. So, like, you know, your trees sort of stop at about, 6 to 10 feet up, so you can just reach up and grab this shit. And it has multiple layers. So, like, you'll have, like, you know... stuff on the ground that works in symbiosis with the stuff that, you know, like your tall trees, your apple trees, your cherry trees or whatever, and all that stuff growing together. So like you can walk through and you can make like a salad and, you know, an apple snack or something else. You can get, you know, everything except for your meat from one place. And like myself, you fellow carnivores out there, think about a food forest. It's going to bring in deer. You're going to need to solve that deer problem. So, pew, done.
God. Repeatedly this week, that one property that I keep telling you about, I drive past it and the horses are over there eating with the deers and the turkeys.
Yeah.
Wild deer and wild turkey. I love that. They just all hang out in that one fucking...
In that area, yeah. And then down the street in that wild field, right before you get to the turn, there's also... That's mm-hmm. usually deer there.
Yeah, no, fucking hunters would love to live out here. I mean, there's just deer. Like, I damn near see deer every day.
The funny thing is, deer, I swear to God, they have a calendar, and they know. They're like, it's not deer season. These fuckers can't touch us. Deer season comes around, time to hide, bitches. Like, literally, you know, during deer season, I almost never see deer. You know, like, basically... November, December.
You don't need a permit to hunt deer on your own property, do you?
Not really, but kind of, sort of. I think there's a form you can fill out and send in that says, yeah, it's my own property. I'm the landowner. I can hunt on my own land.
Hmm.
It's basically one of those things like, I don't think you can get in trouble really for it. You can fill out that form and be done with it and keep it in your wallet. And otherwise, just don't get caught, and I don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
Jeff, or someone that's more knowledgeable about this, let me know. Because trust me, I kind of want to take a deer.
Jeff, what, Radke?
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't know anything except cheese and welding cock rings.
Oh, he hunts. My God. If we ever see wild boar in the backyard... Fucking get all of my guns, because that's vermin. You can just, like, we'll take the AR-15 out there and unload on those bitches.
I don't think I've ever seen a wild boar in this area.
They're moving. They're a huge problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But they are considered vermin, and you don't need a permit or anything. You just kill the motherfuckers.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we can just unload on those, what are those stupid things? Armadillo. Armadillo are a pest that you...
They're an invasive species. They're not even from this state.
Yeah. You know what invasive species has gone into Texas and moved up like further towards like Oklahoma and stuff?
Killer bees?
Panthers, jaguars.
Oh, really?
Jaguars are in the continental U.S.
Jaguar.
Yeah.
Oh, God. A few years back, dude, they were... Okay, there used to be more panthers, jaguars, pumas, whatever the fuck you want to call them, roaming throughout the fucking plainslands.
Yeah.
And they're not there anymore. They're just not, you know. They've been hunted to extinction in that area.
Yeah.
A few years back when they fucking scientists, not anthropologists, biologists were fucking discussing the benefits of importing certain other species into the areas of the U.S. where their cousins used to be. Vis-a-vis, they were wanting to import African lions to our plainslands.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of like big environmental reasons that would be a good thing, but damn, no,
not African lions. They're huge.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's Yellowstone Park brought back wolves after they've been out of the area for a while?
Oh, the story about the wolves in Yellowstone was amazing. It made the park fix itself.
Yeah, there was a river that started reflowing again.
Yeah, because the wolves started the deer population
was out of control.
It was out of control. The wolves hunted the deer. Just
cascaded into fixing itself.
It made this huge domino effect that just healed the land.
Yep. So, yeah.
Sometimes nature just needs a little helping hand.
Learn about local wild perennials. So learn what perennials grow in your area. So blueberries, blackberries. So, you know, if those things grow wild, if you have, like, wild grapes, which I think Maine has a lot of wild grapes, these wild perennials... one, you know that they'll grow in your area.
I've never
Two, you found a wild plant that could be a resource. So I like to sort of like mentally keep note of like, oh yeah, there's blackberries on this area and there's raspberries over there. Like, you know, if you need to go wild harvest some stuff, then you know it's there. Two, like we said earlier with the cherries, you can take clippings or pieces of it to propagate it and then grow it. And you know it's been... One, it's been proven in your area, so you're getting a good, strong, viable plant.
Fucking apple trees are so weird.
Ugh, apple, I don't, yeah.
You can't just take the seeds from an apple, plant it in the ground, and grow a fucking tree that makes those kind of apples. I mean, yes, you might actually get a tree, but it's not going to make those kind of apples.
No.
It's weird. You have to plant the seeds, but you also have to take a clipping of the, like, fucking tree that you're trying to get to grow to make the fucking correct apples grow there.
Yeah.
Johnny Appleseed Man.
Yeah.
So, you ever see that old Disney cartoon?
I did.
It was embellished quite a bit. He was mainly... He was interested in making apple liquor.
Yeah, I was going to say he was a real guy.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
I love the old Disney cartoon, though. They made it so much...
walked across the country throwing down seeds everywhere.
Yeah, they made it so much more epic.
They did. Like, everything.
It was back when they made those great cartoons like Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
And Pecos Bill.
Oh, the old Tall Tales. Yeah, Tall
Tales. Yeah, I love those.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can't...
I had somebody yesterday...
You have to graft it on rootstock, you're saying.
Oh, God. I had somebody yesterday frickin' do one of my pet peeves at me.
Huh.
When I needed to sign something, they told me to put my John Henry down, and I'm like... And I just wanted to be like, John Hancock. It's John Hancock. John Hancock was the one famous for the giant signature. John Henry was a steel-driving man.
Yeah.
He didn't sign shit. He probably couldn't spell John Henry.
Probably not.
That's just pet peeve of mine.
They're destroying our history!
Interestingly enough, the thing I was signing, life insurance policy.
Did you see that protesters burned and destroyed an Abraham Lincoln statue because he was...
Yes! Because the Great Emancipator, folks, they destroyed, claiming he was racist.
Like, literally, this shit's straight out of 1984. They're trying to destroy all the history.
Well, it's like, okay, they didn't say this in the actual movie, Men in Black, but they said it in the novelization, Men in Black. I always like this line. Humans are dumb, panicky animals. You put a bunch of humans together and spook them, and what do you have? A mob. And a mob is only as smart as the stupidest person in it.
Yeah.
I think the exact line was dumbest person in it, but whatever. Yeah. Is that racist? We just dropped the mother of all bombs on ISIS.
Oh, my God.
Are you assuming it's gender?
Yeah. Where is... So, I knew at some point... doing this podcast.
Send me a request and I'll invite you to Couch Potato Mike's No Ma'am.
We would have to talk about an actual list of some perennials.
Oh.
I've got some
Oh, that's a list.
That's a long list. I've got a better list here. And I'll link to a few of them. So this is so you can get ideas.
I want to read the long list rapid fire.
I'll maybe let you get to that.
Okay.
Perennial herbs. We'll go back and forth. Basil, Africa Blue, and East Indian.
Chives.
Fennel.
Garlic.
Ginger.
Horseradish.
Lavender.
Poison! Sorry. Lemon balm.
Mint.
Onions, which can... Wait.
Which only these ones.
Potato onions, shallots, Egyptian onions, Japanese, bunching onions, Welsh onions, Chinese leeks.
Lakes. Oh, my God. This is a pet peeve of mine. Oregano, or as proper people say, oregano.
Parsley.
Rosemary.
Sage.
Thyme.
You have those in the wrong order. It's supposed to be parsley, sage, rosemary, then thyme.
Oh, I didn't make this list.
Well, they had it in the wrong order.
Perennial vegetables.
Artichokes, Jerusalem, also known as sunchokes.
I might start growing these. You should be very interested in Jerusalem artichokes. Also... nicknamed fartichokes.
I like artichoke if it's prepared properly.
No, this is... Jerusalem artichoke is not an artichoke. It's not even... It's a root vegetable. Tastes very similar to a potato.
Oh.
But does not contain starch. Contains inulin, which is great for diabetics.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to try that then.
There you go. Oh, asparagus. That was my turn. Never mind.
Let your head move around like a well-cooked piece of asparagus. Broccoli, nine star, and purple cape.
Radicchio.
That's radicchio.
Fuck you.
Rhubarb.
Spinach, Ceylon, Sisio, and New Zealand.
Sweet potato.
I love sweet potato. Tree cabbages, tree collards.
Watercress.
Watercress, I think, is the most productive plant on the planet as well. Yams.
Not to be confused with sweet potatoes, because people often confuse those two.
But they're both perennial, so you can grow either or.
Yeah. Let's see. Perennial fruits. You're probably familiar with many of these as tree crops or vine crops that you see at the grocery store. They are often specific to a particular climate, though. You won't be able to just grow citrus up north.
Unless you're Paul Wheaton or, you know, someone crazy.
I'm glad they canceled Firefly.
Yeah. Apples.
Apricots.
Avocado.
I love avocados.
I do too.
I could just peel an avocado and eat the damn thing.
Me too, but we will never be able to grow them here.
No. Blackberries.
Cherries.
My daughter was trying to grow avocados. That's why it didn't
work. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Currants.
Dates.
Fig.
Goji berries.
Huckleberries. It seems like huckleberries should be able to be grown in the South. Wait, they are grown in the South.
I'm your huckleberry. Grapes.
Kiwi.
Kiwi has several varieties of cold hardy kiwi that we can grow in pretty much everywhere in the United States. There's a variety of kiwi that you can grow, my friends.
And they can be used as shoe polish.
Yeah.
Lemons.
Limes.
Nectarines.
Olives.
Oranges.
Hold on. Olives you can grow in about two places in the U.S.
And one of those is Italy.
Yeah. Yeah, basically like the southern tip of Florida... And maybe the most southern tip of San Diego. No, the southern tip of California.
The southernmost tip of Maine.
Yeah. And possibly the border of, like, Mexico and Texas.
Move into the
peaches.
Country,
peaches you can grow here in Tennessee.
Peaches. But they grow better in Georgia, apparently. Pears.
Persimmon. Go ahead.
Yeah, persimmon. No, my wife has spotted wild persimmon plants before.
Yeah.
Thinking they were something else.
And if we cultivate them, we can obviously grow them here on the property very easily because they already grow here on the property.
Yep. Plums.
Plums. Raspberries.
Not the British plums, I might add. I'm going to kick you in the plums.
Yeah.
raspberries, and then strawberries, ever-bearing varieties, can be maintained as perennials in colder climates.
Yes, thus, if you do cover them with straw in the wintertime, they'll come back in the springtime.
Then you have perennial legumes.
Otherwise, they will die, and you will not have them as perennials.
No.
Beans, winged bean and scarlet runner.
Perennial nuts.
Almond.
Chestnut.
Good luck with chestnut, guys.
Why good luck with chestnut?
Chestnut blight back in like the, I don't know, 20s, 50s, something like that, just wiped out the American chestnut.
Oh, really?
You can grow varieties of Chinese chestnut.
Oh.
And the American chestnut is kind of trying to make a comeback. There are people that are doing a lot of work to bring back the American chestnut. But it was a monocrop, and like most monocrops, disease and pests can just wipe them out and obliterate them. Like what's happening to bananas right now. God damn it, I love bananas.
Chestnuts always remind me of one episode of the show Home Improvement, that Tim Allen show.
Yeah.
They were having a Christmas episode, and he was talking to his neighbor Wilson, whose whole face you never could see at one time. He's like, well, thanks, neighbor. I'm just going to get back over here to my chestnuts roasting on an open fire, because he was literally roasting chestnuts on an open fire. Yeah. He's like, that always reminds me of the song. And Tim Allen is like, yeah. And then he starts going, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
You know what? I should give chestnuts another try. I had them, and I was like, eh. You have to. You actually do have to cook them. And I don't think I didn't cook them very well.
That also reminds me of that horrible joke.
What?
Huh? See, like, what do you have if you have nuts on the wall?
I don't know.
Walnuts. What do you have if you have nuts on the chest? Chestnuts. What do you have if you have nuts on your chin? A dick in your mouth.
Oh, my God. Hazelnut.
Oh, macadamia.
I don't think macadamias will grow here.
No.
Oh, God. And I love them.
Okay.
Pecans.
Or pecans. Whichever, from where, depending on where the hell you're standing when you say it.
It's pecan or you're wrong.
Yeah. I'm a pecan person myself, but I heard so many pecan pie. I love pecan pie, though. That's like one of my top three favorite pies.
There's another word that I'm very peculiar about. What is it? It's, I think it's...
Moist.
Which one do I say? Caribbean. I say Caribbean. If you say Caribbean, you're wrong. Serenity, you're wrong.
Hey, hey, hey. Don't be talking to my future sister-in-law like that.
There's two words like that. There's Caribbean and there's another one.
Tomato?
No.
Is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
Yeah, I'm like, it's got to be caramel.
Caramel.
It is caramel and never caramel.
See, no, that's the thing. On every single one of these, me and you actually happen to agree. Like, I say Caribbean, I say caramel.
Yeah.
And and I say pecan.
Yeah. Sorry, sweetie, you're wrong.
Then again, to me, scientists work in a laboratory. And commercials are just advertisements.
Yeah, I think I'm the opposite on those two, maybe.
Yeah, and I like to wrap my leftover food up with aluminium foil.
We've derailed this episode. Aluminium. I've started calling aluminium the most asinine, asshole way, and I'm sorry, calling it aluminium.
Aluminium?
Aluminium.
Well, that's the thing. Aluminium, they're adding an I in there where it doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretentious.
It is.
Too but much. I still like it. Oh, yeah. We were at pistachios.
And walnut. We won't read the tips.
We have a couple of walnut trees growing in the front yard, actually.
We do. It has dropped walnuts, but they're always disgusting and unedible. You really want to rapid fire this? We're over an hour.
I just want to do it. Let me see here. Okay. Agastache, agave, alfalfa, aluminum triconium, apple, apricot, asparagus, avocado, banana, barrel, basil, many varieties, blackberry, black cherry, black currant, blackberry, broccoli, carillon.
Blueberry.
What?
Blueberry.
Blueberry. Carillum thimbrate, carillum edulis, chestnut, chicory, chives, chokeberries, chokecherry, citrus, clover, common sorrel. And cornelian cherry, cranberry, currant, daylilies, dill, eggplant, phalogia, whatever, fennel,
ferula, fig, garlic, ginger, ginkgo biloba, globe artichoke, grape, groundnut, hawthorn, hazelnut, hops, horseradish, and the rest here on Gilligan's Isle. I don't care anymore.
Okay.
If you want to see that list, go to the website.
Yeah, we have a link. One more thing I want to add for me that I may grow for the Shit Hit the Fan is stevia.
Oh, God.
The stevia plant can be grown as a perennial, so yay! Oh, and good old star fruit. I've never had that, but I've always wanted to.
Avahoa Caribbean.
Simple note, back to here. Resources. I mentioned some earlier. Eric Tosemeyer, Get the Perennial Vegetable Garden. That book, Permaethos. Jeff Lawton, all these people are great. The urban farming guys, great guys. A lot of good work they're doing there. And I think that is it.
Oh, awesome.
I think that now, listeners, you should know a bit more about perennials. If you are a master gardener and know more about perennials than I do, leave a comment. Shoot me an email. Maybe I'll let you come on the show and you can tell us more about gardening. Because
we haven't done an interview in a while.
I need to get reset up. The new computer doesn't have the recording software or Skype or any of that shit.
Oh, really?
Not yet, no.
Yeah, that's easy, though.
Yeah, it is easy.
You can hammer that shit
I'm ready for a food.
I am, too. And on that bombshell, or terrible disappointment, depending on what channel you're on, it's time to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sick One Burnett.
And be careful where you pick your tomatoes.
DIY to grow work the lazy way, you guys.
You guys.